Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Kroti Vachalam Pangrimam Hayatevi Yat Kripa Taraham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarunam Vanchikapachibhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitam Pavyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakti Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So I thought I'd start off this book distribution discussion with a very nice prayer by Srila Prabhupada, expressing his humility. It's called the Markine Bhagavat Dharma, which is the prayer that Srila Prabhupada wrote on the Jaladutta. There's a devotee in Russia. He reads this every day before he goes on Sankirtan. And he's the biggest book distributor in Russia. So it might be something you want to pick up. Ambarish Prabhu, very nice. He's up for sannyas also. Very nice devotee. So Srila Prabhupada says, "My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva Krishna. They do not know how they will be able to understand. I do not know how they will be able to understand it, but I know that your causeless mercy can make everything possible. Because you are the most expert mystic, how will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will, and therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure, as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands, so if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance, make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada." Well, he did the Prabhupada. "On board the ship Jaladutta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA, dated 18th of September, 1965. Srila Prabhupada ki jai." So this is the mood of a preacher. very, very humble. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, when will I with a humble heart go out to spread the transcendental message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So humility is very, very important. Completely, like Prabhupada, he's helpless. He's such a great Vaishnava. He just, Krishna, I'm useless. I have no qualification. I'm just depending on your mercy. So this is how we should go out. Yeah. And Krishna, he told Arjuna, Nimatamatram Bhavasavyasachin. You just be an instrument in my hands. So that's what we're trying to be. Instruments in the hands of Krishna. The more we take to this transcendental knowledge, the more we'll understand it and we'll want to give it out to others. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he says, Nahi jnanenam sadrasam pavitram iha vidyate. There is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. So this is what we're giving, transcendental knowledge. There's knowledge in this material world, but a lot of ignorance also. There's no transcendental knowledge. So we're giving transcendental knowledge. Srila Prabhupada explains that knowledge means to know the difference between matter and spirit. This is the difference. You know, this is real knowledge. So people, they don't have any clue of what they actually are as spirit souls. So we're trying to help them understand the reality, who they are. They're lost souls now. It's like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it said, Nehayat karma dharmaya na viragaya kalpate. That if one's nahi jnanena, nehayat karma, if one's knowledge, if one's karma does not bring one to dharma, and if one's dharma does not bring one to renunciation, and if one's renunciation does not bring one to bhakti, one is considered to be dead, although breathing. Powerful statement there. So people don't know what to do. They don't know what dharma is. They don't know how important it is to be renounced and, of course, ultimately to develop love for God. So therefore, they're practically dead. Spiritually, they're dead. They may be moving around, but spiritually, they're practically dead. So this Sangirtan movement is meant to bring people alive. Rising from the dead. It's like we were all dead spiritually, practically. And now we got this transcendental knowledge. So now we're coming alive in devotional service. So we can also help others come alive. They've forgotten who they are. It's like there's an amazing instance of a friend of mine. He was riding his bike. And he crashed his bike, and when he stood up, he was completely, there's no memory. Didn't know who he was, didn't know where, didn't know anything, completely blank. So, walking his bike, and when devotee saw him, where are you from? Good question. I don't know where I'm from. You heard this before? No. So he said, I crashed my bike and now I have amnesia. I don't know my name. I don't know anything. Completely blank. So the devotee said, well, I'll tell you who you are. You're the eternal servant of Krishna. So he said, okay, well, now I know something at least. Then the devotee had compassion on him. So he took him to his flat and told him about Krishna. He became a devotee, became a book distributor. And what's kind of ironic is that after some time he wanted to find out who he was materially, he found out who he was spiritually. but he wanted to find out who he was materially, so he crashed his bike near a university, so I figured he might have been going to the university there, so he put pictures of himself and some paper around the campus. Under it he put, "I'd lost my memory, amnesia. If you know who I am, please call this number." So a bunch of people called up and said, "Yeah, I know who you are, you're this and that." Some even knew his parents, so he found out who he was. But what's really ironic is that before he had this crash, maybe you can close the door. Before he had this crash, he was a big atheist, completely against God. So Krishna made him forget all that, and he became a devotee. He's still a devotee, actually. He still distributes books, and he's like the temple commander in Los Angeles now. Omkar Das. You know Omkar? That's how he joined. So, there's so many amazing ways that people join. Just like recently, I heard of one man, he got a book back in 1972, and he put it in his bookcase, never opened it. And he passed away recently. And his daughter was moving his things out of his house and saw the Bhagavad Gita. And she thought, "Oh, my daughter might be interested in this." So she gave it to her daughter. Her daughter just absorbed it. She's a devotee at the London Temple now. So the book sat there for like, I don't know, more than 30 years, maybe 38 years or so. Tick, 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 tick. Yeah, it's the time bomb just waiting. Years, decades later. So don't be discouraged if you don't see people becoming devotees because of the books that you distribute. It's happening. People are becoming devotees all over the world by this book distribution. So it's very important. Lord Chaitanya, he came to teach Vairagya, Vidya, Nijabhakti Yoga. First Vairagya, then we can understand some knowledge. It's like a lot of devotees that came. First there was some detachment from material life. Many devotees I've spoken to, myself also, is becoming a little disgusted with material life. So there's people out there that are like that. They're called ripe mangoes. They're ready. They're looking. A lot of people that are unripe, most people are green, not interested at all. But there's people that are kind of looking for something. So this, unfortunately, people are very attached. It's Kali Yuga. And they're very attached to sense gratification. It's like there's one man, very famous author in America, Ernest Hemingway. When he heard from his doctor that he can't have sex anymore, he committed suicide that night. Can't imagine a life without sex. So unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are absorbed in this sense gratification. For Prahlad Maharaj, he says that people do not know what is actually valuable. What they are thinking is very, very valuable is sense gratification. And therefore they're blind. And they're being led by other blind people. So, what is actually valuable is this knowledge. When we're distributing books, we're not distributing ink and paper. We're distributing gems, gold and diamonds. Prabhupada says in one purport that the pure devotee is compared to gold and Krishna is compared to a diamond. If you have a gold ring, it's very beautiful. You put a diamond in that gold ring, it becomes even more beautiful. This is the combination of the pure devotee and Krishna. Very attractive. This is what actually helps people become wealthy. Lord Chaitanya came to teach us renunciation, knowledge, and love of God. And in the Shikshashika, in the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that last chapter is the Shikshashika, you know, but there's many nice verses in between. And there's one that really hit me. It was so beautiful. Prema dana vanavyata dharidra jivan. That if one does not have love of God in one's life, then one is considered to be dharidra jivan, which means a poor soul. Lord Chaitanya continues. He says, therefore, my dear Lord Krishna, please engage me in your devotional service. He's playing the role of a devotee still. And all I want as salary is love for you. People are dharidra jivans now. They're very poor souls. Even though they may be a billionaire or a millionaire, there's no love for Krishna, then that's poverty stricken. And there may be some bum on the street going around chanting Hare Krishna. But he's actually wealthy, very fortunate. There's actually instances of devotees. There was one person, he used to eat by digging in garbage cans. You know, you see people like that, probably have them in London too. So he was in a garbage can looking for food. He sit to the side, okay. He was in a garbage can digging for food and he finds a Bhagavad Gita. Wow, what's this? Looked interesting, so he took it out, read it, and now he got initiated by Prabhupada back in the early 70s. I can't remember his name now, but he's a scholar in our movement. So here he was, a bum, living on the streets, just, you know, grabbing things out of the garbage can. Now he's a wonderful Dhruva, actually Dhruva Maharaj. You know Dhruva Maharaj? I remember his name. Lives in Jagannath Puri. He's a scholar, wonderful devotee. He teaches Bhakti Shastri, and, you know, you've heard of it. Yeah. That's how he joined. And there was another instance of a Radhana Swami. He was hitchhiking, you know, back in America. He was traveling around universities, preaching, and the way he would go from college to college and to the temple was he was hitchhiking. That was very common back in our ISKCON early days. Devotees would hitchhike. There was no cars. And it was very common, hitchhiking. Now it's very uncommon. So he was hitchhiking and he got picked up by some guy in a truck. And so Radhana Swami, you know, he's such a preacher. So he asked him, hey, have you ever heard of Krishna? He said, oh yes, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Well, how do you know about, how do you find out about Krishna? He said, well, I'm reading the Bhagavad Gita. I said, oh, wow, okay. He said, well, what do you do in your life? He said, well, I follow four regular principles. No gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex. Radhana Swami said, well, who picked me up here? Yeah. So then he said, well, how'd you get the Bhagavad Gita? He said, I was at a store and I had bought a watermelon. And I was eating this watermelon and it was so good. It was like the best watermelon I had ever eaten. It was just so good. And I was thanking God. But then it slipped and it fell into the trash can. And I was eating it over a trash can. It slipped into the trash. And he said, you know, generally I wouldn't reach back into a trash can, but that watermelon was so good, I reached in there to get it, and I pulled out the Bhagavad Gita. True story, you can ask Radhana Swami. So he said, what is this? So he put it to the side, and reached, got the watermelon, finished the watermelon. Then he read the Bhagavad Gita, and he said it was the most amazing thing they'd ever read. Gave up all his sinful activities. So Radha Swami was just amazed. So then he asked Radha Swami, he said, well, where are you going anyway? He said, well, I'm going to the temple. I'm going to New Vrindavan. He said, you're going to the temple? Can I go to the temple too? Can you show me where it is? Can you take me there? Said, yeah, sure. Yeah. Took him to the temple. And he asked him, so what kind of work were you doing before? He said, I was a welder. We're a welder. Said, yeah, a welder. And Radha Swami told him, you know, we're building a... we're building Prabhupada's palace now. We're building something in memorial of Srila Prabhupada. So he said, well, that's what I do. I build things. I can help you. And Radha Swami was just... he was in ecstasy. Now, and so this person said, you know, I also have $25,000 worth of welding equipment here in my truck that we can use. Now it's just like, just Radha Swami couldn't believe it. You know, Krishna's mystical. It's like we read in that, Prabhupada says, your mystical ability to make devotees. So Krishna is very mystical. And you find this on book distribution also. Quite often I'm distributing books, and well, not quite often, but it happens occasionally. You're distributing books and someone comes this way, you know, and you're talking to him, nice person, nice exchange, and you sell the book to him, and he goes back the same way. You know, generally, if someone gets a book, they go that way, you know, just going through, but then they go back the same way. Why? What happened there? Or you find people, this might have happened to some of you, talking to someone, and he says, you know, I never go this route. I usually go another way. And as I'm going this way, I'm thinking, why am I going this way? And then when they get to the book, they say, oh, this is why I went this way. You ever had that experience?
Yeah.
So, mystic. You know, the mystics. You know, Krishna's the Yogeshwar. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. He's the master of all mystics. So this is one nice thing about book distribution, is that you experience this mystic ability of Krishna. And the reciprocation, this is another extremely attractive feature of book distribution, is the reciprocation that you feel. It's like how many of you have gone on book distribution before? Raise your hand. Okay, good, all of you. So you've all had the experience, you've had a tough time. And you're praying to Krishna, Krishna, please. Please help me. Help me to be an instrument. And you're praying, you know, fervently. And then all of a sudden people start coming and taking books. Sometimes that happens daily. So you feel that reciprocation. And it's nice. You know, you really feel that the existence of Krishna on book distribution. You know. And it's so wonderful, you know, to feel that reciprocation of Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya has come to give this this knowledge, this love of God. So Lord Chaitanya is a very special incarnation of Krishna, because generally when Krishna comes himself or as incarnations, so many demons are killed. But not with Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya came to kill the demoniac mentality, which is actually, in one sense, more difficult than killing the body. Because that mentality, it sticks with you. So this is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Although one time, he did almost kill someone. Who was that? Madai. Madai, almost. He almost got it. He almost got the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya in the form of the Sudarshan Chakra. But then, why did he stop? Why did he not kill him? Nitai's mercy. Exactly. Lord Nityananda is more merciful than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if you want to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And if you want to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you have to try to help the Jagais and Madais. This is how to attract Lord Nityananda, because he's very, very kind. He wants to deliver all the conditioned souls. This is the purpose of Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodita Gaurariye Pushpanta Chitta Sandhata Motiva. My respectful obeisance unto Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who have simultaneously arisen on the horizon of Gaura days to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and bestow benediction upon all. So this is the purpose of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent, to remove the darkness. So there's so much darkness in people's hearts. So this knowledge, this sublime knowledge, this most sublime knowledge, is what will help people come out of their darkness. We have on the BTG, the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's shining light in Kali Yuga. So this is what will light up people's hearts, this transcendental knowledge. People can understand who they are, who Krishna is, engage in this loving service of Krishna. So this is the real necessity. Everybody wants love, right? Everybody wants love. People want money also, but love more than anything else. Because there's wealthy people that commit suicide. But if you have love, it's like, I remember I was in high school one time, and the teacher asked, it was a psychology class, and the teacher asked, who in here has thought of committing suicide? And everybody in the room raised their hand, except for one other person and myself. And I was shocked. I was thinking, how could anybody think of committing suicide? I mean, that's like the most painful. You must be experiencing such pain to want to commit suicide. And in America now, 40,000 people, it's increasing every year, commit suicide. 40,000 people. And three times that amount try hard, but they fail. And you can imagine how many people think of it. You know. So it's not easy to commit suicide. You know, you got to really know what you're doing. So there's a lot of suffering going on out there. Para dukkha dukkhi. When Krishna sees others suffering, it gives pain to him. So a devotee is like a Krishna, it gives pain. Krishna's got a problem. And what is that problem? All of us suffering souls. We're all his sons and daughters, so we're down here suffering. It gives pain. Just like a very wealthy father or a cultured father, his son goes off and becomes very degraded. It gives pain. So much pain to the heart. So then if one friend of his goes and finds his degraded son and helps him, and he gives up his degraded life and becomes a good son again, how much grateful that father will be to his friend. And so this is what we're doing. We're going out and we're trying to help Krishna's sons and daughters back to him. So you can imagine how pleased Krishna is with our efforts and trying to help him in this mission. This is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He comes for two reasons: to experience the love of Srimati Radharani and to deliver the conditioned souls. So, very fortunate, actually, to be a part of this mission. It's very, very rare for someone to take to Krishna consciousness. Out of many, many millions, Prabhupada speaking about this, you know, there's that verse, out of many thousands, one may endeavor for perfection. Prabhupada was speaking about, out of many millions, one may endeavor for perfection. And out of those, hardly one will come to any proper understanding. So it's very rare for someone to become a devotee. And even in our ISKCON society now, it's rare for someone to be a book distributor. When I was in Mayapur, we had one Mataji speak, Radha Kun Mataji. She's been distributing books for 4 decades. And she is fired up. She's in Mayapur, she's distributing books every day. She's just completely addicted to book distribution. And she told the devotees at this meeting that we were having, book distribution, she said, here in Mayapur, we have about 2,000, 3,000 devotees. But here only a few are book distributors that want to come and hear about book distribution and are distributing books. So even in our society, it's rare to be a book distributor. So count your blessings. You're very fortunate to be a part of this mission of trying to help the conditioned souls. And pray to Krishna that you can continue in this activity. Now throughout the world we're having this monthly Sankirtan festival. It's happening here also. Yeah? Every Saturday. I think the reason that Vaisheshika Prabhu, he wanted once a month, because it's hard for people to do it every Saturday. Especially, well, he's got people that are working outside. So that's what he's mainly concentrated on. Because, you know, on the weekend they want to take a break. Yeah. But I guess for devotees it would be more practical, yeah, because, you know, they're not working so hard out in the material world. So temple devotees, yeah, weekend warriors is good. But also you have congregation going out on the monthly Sankirtan festival. You have that? Yeah, that's good.
In Hungary they have a monthly Sankirtan.
It's very good.
Festival.
He beats, or that temple, San Jose, defeats Los Angeles sometimes.
Mm.
And there's, you know, it's just householders living outside. So it's very successful. He's got Washington, D.C. involved in it. Boston's involved in it. So many places. Toronto is very involved in it. So it's a nice program. You know, try to encourage others to get into book distribution. Because we all know the nectar of book distribution. It's nectar. Maybe a little difficult in the beginning. But that's it's like that sometimes. Nice things are, even Krishna says, it's like poison in the beginning, and then it becomes like nectar. So you have to try to show them how it's, as Vaisheshika Prabhu says, fun and easy. Very nice, wonderful activity, distribution. This is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he's come to deliver the conditioned souls and sending so many great souls to assist him. Srila Prabhupada, such an inconceivably great soul. Just like the 6 Goswamis, you know, there's that verse, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipunasa Dharma Sakshatra. That they were scrutinizingly studying all the Vedic literatures with the aim of establishing religious principles throughout the world. So Srila Prabhupada did that. He did that. He did what all the Goswamis and the great acharyas were dreaming of. Yeah. He did that. Yeah. So imagine if we should actually eagerly hear Srila Prabhupada's words, you know, his books and his lectures. Imagine if we had the lectures of Narottam Das Thakur or Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami. Yeah. I'd be like, wow. Would be, you know, really trying to get that. But we have the lectures of Srila Prabhupada, who has fulfilled the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should eagerly hear the words of Srila Prabhupada and read the words of Srila Prabhupada. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy that he's sent so many great acharyas. There's another incarnation of God whose appearance day is soon coming. Lord Nrsingadeva. So he came and he had a different style of liberating. He did a surgery on Hiranyakasipu. But it was a very successful surgery. He got liberated from that. Lord Nrsingadeva is the best doctor. And he had a very illustrious son, Prahlad Maharaj, who was such a great Vaishnava that he was completely dependent on Krishna, always remembering Krishna. And therefore, in these different ways of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, he was the most expert at remembering Krishna. So Hiranyakasipu tried to kill him in so many ways, but he never forgot Krishna. And he prayed, Naivod Vijaypura Dharatyaya Vaitranyas Tvadvirya Gahaina Mahamrita Magna Chitta. He prayed to Lord Nrsingadev that I have no fear. I have no anxiety whatsoever, because wherever I go, I'm hearing and I'm chanting your glories. However, I am concerned about all the unfortunate souls, fools and rascals who are trying to enjoy this maya sukhaya, this illusory happiness. I am concerned out of love for them. So Prahlad Maharaj is such a compassionate devotee. So we should pray to Krishna for compassion. The best service that we can do is to go out and give this mercy to the conditioned souls. And to do that, it's very good to have compassion. Of course, it's difficult to have that compassion, because we're here in this world. Why? Because we're envious of Krishna. Why? That's why everybody is here. Prabhupada said, causes envy. So that's diametrically opposed to compassion. So you have to really pray to Krishna for this compassion. And this compassion is such a wonderful quality to have, compassion. Yeah. And it's there. It's dormant in the heart of all of us. Yeah. Krishna's qualities are there within us also, to a dormant, to a small degree. But it's there. And if we're sincere, these qualities can come out. Kshiva karunaya. Tatikshaya karunaya maitra chikila jandar su sumatvena chisara nam bhagavan sampasidati. This is probably my favorite Sankirtan verse. This explains how Krishna is very quickly pleased by four qualities. Tolerance. First, Prabhupada wrote a letter to two sannyasis: if you are not tolerant, and if you are not humble, you'll not be able to preach Krishna consciousness. So we have to be tolerant. And book distribution is so nice, because when we go out on book distribution, we have to be tolerant. So we're building up this quality of tolerance, just like these people these weightlifters, they regularly go out and they're lifting weights to build up their muscles. So to go on Sankirtan means we're building up our spiritual muscles. You know, we're building up our tolerance, our compassion, our qualities that are necessary on book distribution. Yeah, so it's very good. Yeah. And eventually we'll become very tolerant by the mercy of Krishna. But if we don't go out, then how, you know, just like here at the temple, there's not much that you have to tolerate. Right? You have to tolerate at the other temple. Other devotees, sometimes. What else do you have to tolerate at the temple? Huh? Other devotees snoring? Yeah, sometimes. I had that experience last night. What else do you tolerate?
Too much prasadam.
Huh? Too much prasadam. Oh, come on. Most devotees relish that. Yeah. But yeah, that could be a problem. Yeah. What else do you tolerate at the temple? Nothing, see? Not much to tolerate here, right? that much to tolerate. Nice devotees, right? Sometimes you have to tolerate other devotees because we have our egos still, right? Not much to tolerate. So how are you going to build up your tolerance muscles at the temple? But you go on book distribution, you become strong. Because you got to build up your tolerance. You have to be tolerant, otherwise you can't distribute books. So if you want to continue distributing books, you have to be tolerant and compassionate. If you're tolerant, then you can be compassionate. If you're not tolerant, compassion can't come. You have to be tolerant. And then the compassion can come. And what does that mean? What does compassion mean? It means when we see someone suffering, then we feel that we want to help them. So everyone's suffering. I remember I was distributing books at a campus one time, and I was explaining this to some students, a couple students there. I was saying how everyone's suffering, and these books can help you overcome suffering. So one of the students said, "Oh, I'm not suffering." And he was just like adamant on that he's not suffering. So I asked him, "So do you ever have headaches?" So he said, "Well, everybody has headaches." I said, "Well, that's my point. That's my point. You're suffering. You know, you may not have headaches so often, but you have headaches. And right now, I'm disagreeing with you. And that's also causing suffering too. You're getting upset because I'm disagreeing with you. So that's another type of suffering that you're experiencing. Some people don't agree with you, so that gives pain to you. You don't like it." So everybody's suffering to some degree. Some are suffering more, but some are suffering less, but it's there in everyone. So we're offering people a chance to go to a place where there is no suffering, where there is no anxiety, the Vaikuntha. This place is Kunta. There's always some anxiety. We're giving people an opportunity to go to a place where there's no death, there's no old age, there's no disease, there's no birth, there's no natural calamities, there's no anxieties, no misery coming from their mind and body and other living entities. And who wants to go there? Practically nobody. Even people join our society, become initiated, take up Krishna consciousness seriously, and then they leave. Prabhupada even said, he said, "Don't be surprised about those people who leave, but by those who stay." The activity of book distribution is very auspicious, and it helps. Sometimes devotees ask me, "So how have you been able to stay? So many devotees have left. How are you? You're still here." I said, "Well, I've gotten a higher taste, book distribution. It's a higher taste." If you don't get a higher taste, then it's hard to stay. It's hard to stay in the movement because this is Maya's kingdom, and there's so much illusion out there drawing the living entity. And if you don't get a higher taste, very difficult to stay amongst devotees. Very good way to get a higher taste. Of course, you have to surrender. And it's not that eventually you get so good you don't have to surrender anymore. No, every day you have to surrender, isn't it? Every day you have to surrender. That's good. This gives opportunity to take shelter of Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says that there's the Gosthyanandi and there's the Bhajananandi. And what is the Bhajananandi? He gets pleasure from chanting Hare Krishna. And the Gosthyanandi, he gets pleasure from bringing others to Krishna so they can also hear about Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says the best preacher is the Bhajananandi that likes to preach. That's the best preacher. Just like Prabhupada says in this prayer, he says that I have no devotion, I have no qualification, but I have great faith in the holy name of Krishna. So Prabhupada had that great faith in the holy name of Krishna. And therefore, what was the first thing he did when he got some following? Harinam. He took them to Thompson Square Park for 4 hours. That was the first kirtan outside. Took all, they were a little nervous. They'd never left. They'd never gone outside. That was the first time. Remember that? They were a little nervous. The kids were hackling them, making fun of them. So Prabhupada chanted that first time for 4 hours, Hare Krishna. And then the devotees, they felt good. You know. Of course, having Prabhupada there helped a lot. So Prabhupada liked to chant Hare Krishna. And therefore, that was the first thing that the devotees did. Hare Nam. That was the way the devotees went out. Spread the holy name. And then eventually Prabhupada, you know, the books started getting printed, and then the Brihat Mridanga. So both of them are going on now around the world. But this Brihat Mridanga, this is the most important. This is the most important. Because especially here in London, people come from all over the world. And they can get books here and take it home. And there at their home, maybe 10,000 miles away, they're hearing the holy name of Krishna. They're reading. Just like, that's the first time I heard the holy name. I read the Bhagavad Gita. And from reading the Bhagavad Gita, I started chanting Hare Krishna. Before I started chanting Hare Krishna, I was doing another mantra. But while I was doing that mantra, I was thinking, there must be a better mantra than this. And then shortly after, I got the Bhagavad Gita, and sure enough, oh, now here's a mantra. This is a mantra. So I was chanting this mantra all day long. And then just a few days after chanting, then I met some devotees. They preached to me. I moved into the ashram that night. So this is the power of the Brihat Mridanga. So Prabhupada said, if you can do this activity of book distribution, you'll receive the smile of Krishna. Krishna will smile at you. He'll be pleased with you. And then our mission in life is reached. Our goal in life is reached. You receive that smile of Krishna. And this is how to get it. This knowledge is very important. Like in America, they have a saying. It's written on all the currency, "In God we trust." Prabhupada actually said that the reason America has been so opulent for so long is because they have that on all the currency, "In God we trust." And now there's a big atheist movement there. They're trying to take that off. Yeah. They haven't succeeded yet. Hopefully it won't happen, but as Kali Yuga increases, it'll probably happen eventually. Because it really hurts them. You know? They're a complete atheist, and they're walking around with currency that says, "In God we trust." So it really gives them pain, you know. It hurts. "In God we trust," they say. But they don't know God. What do they know about God? Just like this morning we heard. What do they know about God? He's omniscient. He's the creator. He's knower of everything. But the knowledge of God is very, very minuscule. Very small knowledge of God. So how can you trust someone that you don't know? When the cell phones go off in class, I don't know if you're aware, that means you have to go out and sell the Bhagavad Gita.
Don't worry, there's no problem.
So you get special mercy today. So we're giving people knowledge so that they can actually understand who God is. Then they can trust. Because people don't know God, just like when they had this war, the Second World War. One of Prabhupada's godbrothers, German gentleman, he said that The German ladies, they were praying to God, please bring back our husbands, bring back our sons, bring back our fathers, you know, bring them back. But they didn't come back, so they became atheists. So there's no knowledge. There's no knowledge of God. That whatever happens is the mercy of God. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we heard that this morning. Everything is the mercy of God. Because people don't have knowledge, they can't see that. Very few people can understand that. When terrible things happen in people's lives, it's very common right now in present society. People that are theists, when something very bad happens to them, they become atheists. They can't understand. They don't have knowledge. So we have to get this knowledge out so they can actually understand what's happening. There was, in Mayapur, there was one lady who had a son, maybe 8 years old, and he got in an accident, and he died. And the next day, the devotee saw this lady at the temple, very happy. And they were shocked. You know, her son just died. But she was happy. And what happened was that the son, just before he died, he was chanting the names of Krishna. So she was so happy. He left this world chanting Hare Krishna. He went back to God. So how many people can understand that? Yeah. Only a devotee can understand that. She was happy. Her son went back to God. Amazing, huh? So we're giving them knowledge by which they can work through any difficulty. Any difficulty. Just like there was an interesting thing happened in India. There was a devotee going door to door, office to office, and he went to one office and there was a meeting going on, business meeting. So the devotee excused himself. He said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you're having a meeting. I'll leave." And the chairman, he said, no. He saw the Bhagavad Gita. He said, no, please come in. Please give Bhagavad Gitas to all of my associates here. And I'll cover the cost. So the devotee is very happy. Oh. So he found out that the meeting was just over. So he wanted to ask this man, why are you so enthusiastic about Bhagavad Gita? You're buying this for your colleagues. He said that he was in a very awkward situation with his family. That his wife was giving him problems, that his children were giving him problems, because they were seeing her giving him problems. He just became miserable, started drinking. And drinking, and became an alcoholic. He was going to commit suicide. But then he saw on his bookshelf Bhagavad Gita. So he took it down, and he thought, nothing to lose, might as well check it out. So he said he just read the first paragraph. And he said, immediately I felt relief. And he kept reading. He said he read the whole book in like 5 days. Just read a little bit, slept a little bit, and read Bhagavad Gita. He said, when I finished reading the Bhagavad Gita, I had never been so happy. I went home and I showed it to my wife. And somehow she also liked it. And then all my family problems were solved. I became a devotee. My wife is a devotee. My children are devotees. So this is the power of Bhagavad Gita. It saves people's lives, changes people's lives all over the world. It's happening. Devotee had a dream. She was at one temple, and Prabhupada was there also. And she said to Prabhupada in the morning, she said, you know, I had a wonderful dream last night. I dreamt that everyone on the planet was chanting Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada's eyes became very wide. Whoa, that's a very nice dream. And that is my desire. So this is the desire of Prabhupada. Of course, Prabhupada said, will always be a small movement for 4 reasons. No gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, and especially no illicit sex. For this reason, we'll always be small. But there'll be some. Just like somehow, we're under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. So there's so many others. There was one devotee who said, Prabhupada, you know, this is such a dynamic movement, and it's growing. It's like there was that book, The Hare Krishna Explosion. It's growing like anything. People are joining. But if we can just have 3 regular principles instead of 4, it would grow so much more. You probably know which one that is. Illicit sex. So Prabhupada said no. So he was still trying to convince Prabhupada. I mean, so much. We could really grow like anything. He was really trying to convince Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said no. Better to have one moon than millions of stars. If from this international society, Krishna consciousness, if we can get one pure devotee, then this society will be a success. I don't want many moon, many stars. So, by your book distribution, one person becomes a devotee, then success. I've had many instances. I was distributing books one time in Miami, and distributed a book to a guy. He wasn't showing very much interest, but he thought, anyway, I have a friend that's interested. So he gave a donation, took his book. 20 years later, I'm in Canada at Rath Yatra. A devotee comes up to me. He says, thank you, Vijay. I said, you're welcome. Now, why are you thanking? 20 years ago, a friend of mine gave me a book that you gave to him. You signed it. And I read that book. And now I joined. As soon as I read that book, and I was convinced this is the absolute truth. So now, I don't know if that was the same person, but it may have been. Because I gave so many books to others. But it was a very good feeling knowing that someone became a devotee from a book that I gave. That's very, very nice. I was in Australia one time, and what I used to do is I would sign all the books. So one Mataji came to me. She said that she had gone to a bookstore, just one of these used bookstores, and she saw the Bhagavad Gita there, and she bought it. And then after she read it, she saw my name there. And then she came and said, yeah, you must have given that to someone else, and he sold it to the bookstore, and I got it. Now I'm distributing Prabhupada's books. A lot of people get books from bookstores, secondhand bookstores. It's amazing how many devotees I've met that got books from secondhand. People buy the book, not interested, they sell it to a bookstore, get a buck or two, and they sell it. So many ways that people become devotees. There was one person on a walk with his dog, and his dog stopped and he was smelling something. And master's trying to pull him along, but he wouldn't budge. So he said, what are you smelling there? So he moved the leaves. Krishna book. Somehow he's smelling Krishna book. So he was like, what is this Krishna? So he sat down, he was looking at the pictures, and it looked kind of interesting. So he took it home and became a devotee. Probably the first time in history then a devotee became a devotee, and the Varbhat Pradashika Guru was a dog. So many ways. We just have to get the books out there. Get the mercy out there. And the more we give this mercy, the more we'll get the mercy. I said, you distribute books. You give your life to this book distribution, and I guarantee you, Lord Chaitanya will take you back to Godhead. Even if there's some contamination, he'll remove it, he'll take you back home. 3 places, Prabhupada says this. An interesting happened. A very interesting thing happened in Mayapur a couple years ago. One devotee, Nirguna. You know Nirguna? Book distributor. Maybe 20, 25 years. Gut cancer. Went to Mayapur. And Janmasthami and him were old friends, so he Janmasthami Prabhu took care of him. He stayed in his flat. So he staying in his flat there, and then it got very, near to the end. So Janmasthami made an announcement to the devotees after Mangalarti. There's a devotee in my apartment, been a book distributor for 25 years. He's leaving his body probably today, maybe soon. So if anybody likes, please come. We're going to have kirtan. So he thought maybe 20 devotees would show up. 100 devotees showed up in his little flat. A big kirtan is going on. So he hasn't spoken. Nirguna hadn't spoken for a couple of days. But then he opened his eyes and he called over Janmasthami. He said, Lord Chaitanya is calling me. Take your Govardhan Shila. Let's go. Janmasthami, he got his Govardhan Shila and he put it in Nirguna's hand. And just shortly after that, he left his body. And the devotees, they couldn't find the Shila. They opened his hand, it was gone. He went back to Godhead. So, guaranteed. I mean, that's amazing. Devotees are just amazed. And the whole atmosphere is just like completely surcharged with transcendental energy. Yeah. So, it can happen to us also. There's so many people who dedicate their lives to so much nonsense. It's like, the kamikazes? Japanese warships.
Suicide.
The soldiers get in a plane filled with bombs and they just go right in to the enemy. And that plane becomes the bomb. Yeah. They give their life to some little island in the Pacific Ocean. Hello. Our people dedicate their life mostly to what? Sense gratification. To their family, to their senses. So we've been doing that for millions of lifetimes. Dedicating our life to trying to satisfy our bodies. But now if we can just get this one life to giving Krishna's message to others, what a glorious life that will be. I was speaking to one devotee in Australia. What's his name?
Ruparagana.
Very nice devotee. He's been distributing books for 20 years. So I was saying to him, yeah, this book distribution, it's so nice. I just want to just keep on going right into my 70s. Yeah. He said, 70s? 90s? He's very dedicated. I had an interesting experience when I was traveling Sankirtan in California. We had just left Nevada. We had gone to Las Vegas. Actually, believe it or not, Las Vegas is a really good place for book distribution. Believe it or not. I mean, it's one of the best places. Not for the people that are coming in from other places, they're terrible, obviously, rich people. But the locals, somehow they're really good. I don't know, can't figure it out, but really good book distribution. So we had left Las Vegas and we were going to Los Angeles, and we stopped at, we saw one sign for a university, so we went in there. And myself and Jagaranga were distributing books around there, and we found about 8 Christians also distributing pamphlets and Bibles. And they were like in their late 70s, early 80s. So I was like surprised. So I went up to a few of them and said, excuse me, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you? I'm 84. Okay, well, you're pretty dedicated. 84, you're still going out here. That's right, we got to get the message out. My last breath. To my last breath, I'm going to get the message out. I was like, wow. Krishna sent us here. We weren't planning on going there. We just saw the sign there. So let's check it out. So here's, there's people that are dedicating their life to spreading the message. So we have the best message. I mean, what the message they have is not much. We have a big message. Yeah. Glorious message. Prana artha diavacha. Krishna says that that it's the duty of every living entity to give their life, prana, artha, to give their wealth, to give their intelligence, to give their words for the benefit of others. So we're giving our words, we're talking out there to people all day long. Very nice. We're using our intelligence, how to convince them. It was a very nice point that Ramila Mataji made this morning about the athletes who mentally, it's going in their mind, the particular sport that they're doing. So I was thinking we could do that on book distribution also. You're not on book distribution, you're at the temple and you read something that can be used on book distribution. And you just let it go around in your mind. You know, you're approaching people and you're saying it in your mind. And then when they get out there, it's already in your mind. I mean, there's so many nice things that we could say to people that are in Prabhupada's books. Yeah. But then this would be a good training. You find something. Now, I've found things that I think would be nice, but I don't do that. So just from hearing that this morning, it'd be a very good exercise for us. You see something, so many wonderful things. Yeah.
Would it be a good idea if you had, while you're chanting, decided to come to your mind while you're chanting? So Sundar Nitai Proof from Sostri was asking, he got some ideas, oh, I could distribute books like this. And he's chanting, he's trying to, you know, he gets many good ideas.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think?
Actually, sometimes when you're chanting, Krishna just gives amazing realizations. Or, of course, we should meditate on the mantra. But if you meditate on a book distribution, also that's really connected, you know. So I don't mind so much if I'm thinking about book distribution. But yeah, we should try to meditate on the mantra. But I was thinking that'd be good for all of us to meditate on. You find something, you know, look for things that are nice to say, and do that. You know, it's going to be a good exercise, isn't it? Yeah. Yes.
Regarding this exercise, I would have been trained before. I have another spiritual community, which a part of the exercise was to meditate how the things that we're doing were just putting some posters for the concerts, and you, part of this service was to meditate how many people see that they like and they're coming to the concert. Mm. That was part of meditation that you're supposed to do. So I know this from before. So I normally do that. It's really.
Do you distribute books also?
Used to. I hope now soon I'll distribute.
Well, hopefully this seminar is going to get you out there again.
Well,
that's
it's
the
not
goal.
My
that's
desire,
why I came.
Only my desire is there, but there is a different circumstance.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah, okay.
But no, I'll be going.
At least try to do the Weekend Warrior or the monthly
festival. It's not possible, temple services.
Okay.
Anyhow, but I'll be going, I'll be home part of the temple service.
Good, yeah. So then she's meditating, they were meditating on the result of putting the posters up that people are going to see them.
But now it's just the books. Not that I'm applying to the books already.
Yeah, very good. There's many wonderful things that we can say about the books, in the books. Yeah. And this will be a nice training also. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada said the best training for the mind is to always be thinking of how to do good to others. That's the best training of the mind. Yeah. And the best thing that we can do for others is to give them Krishna. This will help them become wealthy. Giving Krishna to them. Now people are poor. Very poverty stricken. They don't know who they are. They don't know what's going to happen at the time of death. Prabhupada said his main mission is to help establish two things. One, first, is that life does not come from matter. This is what the scientists are trying to push like anything. And two, that there is life after death. People think that when the body dies, that's it. Yeah. So there's a lot of ignorance. There's a lot of ignorance in society. So we have so much valuable knowledge. We have these gems of knowledge. So somehow we should spend some time in this book distribution. Oh. Any question? Yes.
How do you free yourself from attaching to the result?
Whoa! That's a tough one. Prabhupada said there's two things that go very, very deep in the heart. And that's one of them. Attachment to the results. People are so attached. It's like I told you about Ernest Hemingway. They're so attached to sense gratification, to the results. I have a friend in Australia. He has a brother that works at these casinos. And an average of 2 people a week commit suicide at this one casino. Because they're so attached, they want to get money. More money. More money. And they lose it. And if they're going to get it back, they lose everything. They're so attached, they commit suicide. This is just one casino. I mean, I'm sure there's thousands and thousands of these gamblers that commit suicide every year because they're so attached. So attached. When a man is married to a woman and she leaves, very common they commit suicide. So attached. Yeah. Sense gratification. So to be detached from the results is very difficult. At least we know it's a problem. Before, we didn't know it was a problem. Now we know it's a problem. So when you see that you're feeling attached to the result, then you pray, Krishna, please, I have this disease, this false ego, I think I'm this body. From getting some fame and honor for this body, I'm going to get some pleasure. Please remove this. So that's it's all from the bodily conception of life. We think we're the body. If I get some fame, some name, some adoration, it'll be good for my body, my false ego. But we're not the ego. We're not the body. So at least we're in the right direction now. If we're becoming free of attachment to the results. And the more we distribute books, the more we'll get free. Because we know it's there. And when we see it, we pray to Krishna. And man proposes and
God disposes.
That's right. So he helps us. But we have to recognize that it's a disease. If we don't even see that it's a disease, then it's going to continue.
Yeah, that's the trick. It's hard to notice. You know, because I've come from a skola-based temple and then now I'm here under Sutapa and it's like,
they tell
me get away from the scores
mentality, but
it's really impossible.
Where are you from? Kurnabhagan. Oh, yeah, Stockholm. Yeah, good luck. Anyway, now you're under a different atmosphere. You're very fortunate. Now the atmosphere is, and the whole mood is, giving Krishna. Don't worry about the results. Anyway, it's a wealthy temple, so don't worry. So, yeah, don't worry about that anymore. Just got to pray to Krishna. To get free of this attachment. So now you're just distributing books now, huh?
I was it as well, but yeah, I'm doing it again.
Yeah. Distribution is very important. And the more we distribute books, the more these qualities of tolerance and compassion and freedom from attachment to the results and all these other qualities, these dirty anarthas, also we get cleansed. Book distribution is a cleansing program. Purifying program. Just like when we, at the end of the day, we take a shower and we feel cleansed. So book distribution is a cleansing. It's an internal cleansing program. Like they have all these new age internal cleansing programs. So this is the real internal cleansing program. Cleansing the soul. Not the body. Going beyond the body. Cleansing the soul. And if we're doing that which is the most pleasing thing to Krishna, which he says in the Bhagavad Gita, then you know we're doing the most beneficial cleansing program for the soul. It said that one who is desiring a comfortable life in Krishna consciousness, advancement will be very slow. Actually, believe it or not, going out on book distribution It's a comfort zone for the soul, because the soul likes it. The mind may not like it so much. False ego doesn't like it. But the soul loves it. Yes, let's go. Let's go out on book distribution. The mind says, it's raining today, it's too cold. Shut up, come on, let's go out. Soul wants to go out and glorify Krishna, get purified. That's when we'll be happy. That's the happiness that everyone is searching for, to be pure. I tell people when I distribute books that this book will help you to be pure. And that's the greatest challenge in your life. And you'll never be happy until you're pure. They like that. That's a good one. Try that one out. Sangha. This book is all about how to be pure. And everybody's attracted to purity. It's a good one. Anything else? Yes. If we don't do that, what?
If you don't put your table, you know, paper.
Yeah.
Because we didn't do that. And I'm from Czech. We didn't do that, and there was not.
Yeah, that's good. Vaisheshika Prabhu also, he doesn't do it. There's no name.
So we don't need to do that.
Well, talk to the leaders here. But you all know Vice. Yeah, he's our guide. So anyway, it's a good program, because then you don't have to worry about, you know, who did big, who did small. You don't feel guilty or don't feel bad. Oh, I did so small. So it's actually a good program.
Actually, Sutapa Prabhu has started on the Weekend Warrior. Tunes from everybody.
Oh yeah.
And then we read it out as a cumulative. Then nobody feels.
No one feels bad. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Then they won't feel discouraged.
Yes, everybody feels part of the.
Yeah, it's a team. It's a team effort. Yeah, that's the mood that Vice wants to have. It's a team. If you want to have some competition, then maybe you can have like a temple against another. You know, compete with another temple that's maybe ahead of you. Compete with another temple, and they don't even know you're competing. Or even maybe let them compete a little bit. Or let them know also. I used to do that sometimes between Denver and St. Louis. They would compete. So it was one team against another team. So, but this team, they would all be camaraderie. But if you're right next to each other and you're competing, then sometimes it gets so competitive that you think, one devotee thought, well, I thought that other devotee was going to break up the sale so you didn't get sell a book. You know, it gets so competitive sometimes. So.
Also. Just to inspire, you know, that was also the idea of the Sutapa Prabhu, that conventionally we used to have a marathons and focus on the individual scores, and all the glories will go to the top distributor. But now what we've been doing, I mean, that was his idea, it's working very well. Every year we take the cumulative score of, for example, the manor. You know, 60, 70 devotees, they participate. And we have both, you know, the festival to glorify the top collectors, and also the festival will glorify everybody, because the target that we put down to achieve is always a little bit more than last year. So indeed, in other words, everybody is focusing, you know, more on the whole.
That's a good point also. Is Vaisheshika Prabhu.
He's got, working very
well. It's good. What he's doing in the whole of America is every year they want to increase by 20%. The whole country. And they did it last year. Much more. And they're doing it this year. They're on the same program. Increased by 20% in the amount of books distributed and the amount of money given to the BBT. So it's a very good program. You can get the whole country, all of England, doing the same thing. Come together, and try to see if you find out how many books you distributed last year,
yes,
and try to increase that by 20% for the whole country. Yeah.
We do have, like at the end of every festival, at the end of the year, a PPT presentation, which you know, highlights all the up and downs of the year, but compared to the previous years. But yeah, of course, it's gone a little bit down, you know, lately. I don't know why. Like you said, you know, I like the point you made. You know, that the distributors nowadays in ISKCON are very rare. Very, very rare.
Yeah.
And that's a contributing factor that we're facing at the moment, that book distributors. You know, it's like you have a pocket of devotees from the manor, brahmacharis. They have to do so much, temple service, they have to do university programs, bhakti program, course, and then in order to do some book distribution, they have to run away from the temple for 4 days or 5 days. And it's because, you know, a little from a lot is taking time, you know, to...
Yeah, it's a problem, although even here, so many devotees here, still it's a problem.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I just wanted to... I like the point you made about every day when I go out, I always write down a little realization in my little book. And you mentioned about, you know, everything we face when we are in the street, you know, it's from the mind, from the body, the way we feel. And it's actually the best way to do Sangitan is to, you know, transcend, you know, the way you feel. So just the other day, you know, the, I wrote something down because I've been through, you know, like I've been facing through some inconsistency. How do you say the word in English?
Inconsistency.
Yeah, like sometimes you feel healthy, sometimes you feel, you know, a bit weak, sometimes you feel, you know, enthusiastic. Sometimes we, every day, isn't it? We face those things. So I just wrote down something and. And like you said, it worked, you know, that just meditate, that I am the soul, and no matter the way I feel, it's it works. Whether happy or sad, let me distribute books for you. I was just, you know, talking myself to the Lord, you know, one, because I was feeling really down, you know, a bit sick. And then whether I'm wealthy or poor, whether I'm advanced spiritually or fallen, whether I'm healthy or sick, whether I'm beautiful or ugly, whether I'm hungry or satisfied, whether I'm hopeful or hopeless, whether when I feel strong or weak, whether I'm intelligent or ignorant, renounced or attached, you know, sometimes, you know, like, it answers the question that, you were asking, and sometimes you are attached to the result. We face, you know, all these things, and even if you feel that you have that feeling, still, you know, it doesn't disqualify you, you know, to get the mercy of the Lord and carry on book distribution. Because like Vijaya Prabhu said, you know, the Lord becomes very pleased. He will smile at you, you know, if you do the activity by transcending all these feelings. Then I said, whether I'm alone or in company, because very often, you know, we are you distribute books on your own, and you feel a bit discouraged, or not many like to go out. Because usually the enthusiasm comes when you see other devotees doing it. But when on your own, you know, it's a bit difficult. But, you know, I'm sure, you know, you've been on your own many, many times, traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult, but that's when you get the strength, the muscle, you know, the muscle of. And then, either if you are hated or loved, you know, at the temple, like you said, you know, some friendships, somebody likes you, somebody doesn't like you. Either I'm famous and significant, faithful or faithless. So, all these things I was writing down, you know, that no matter how I feel, I just pray to Krishna, you know, let me. Distribute books, transcend, you know, all these feelings, because like you said, it's all from the vicissitudes of life, Because every day we always feel different, isn't it? Not every day we feel, how strong is the sadhana. But still, sometimes you face a difficulty, you feel. So I just wanted to share,
Thank you. Yeah. Well, you go ahead.
There's one thing that when you're talking with someone, actually the money, and ask them to come out and see, they're just there and suddenly they're just lying in wait to tell, it's so obvious. And then, the trial, so it's like, it's just, that disturbs me very much.
Well, one thing that's interesting, that when we distribute books and we're attached to the results, it's amazing how many people don't have money. But then when you go out and you're really sincerely trying to give Krishna to others, it's amazing how many people do have money and take books. So a lot of times it's just due to our attachment that they're kind of resistant to our attachment.
That we want them.
That we get attached to, whatever, getting some name or getting their Lakshmi or... there's some devotees that have a rasa, just they like to get Lakshmi. And they get attached to getting Lakshmi, even though they don't, get the name up in lights. Or,
I personally feel I don't attach to this table, but then the line starts.
Yeah, people are attached to, they don't like to give their money up either. They're attached also. They like their money, they're working hard for their money, so we have to try our best. We have to have, our determination has to be higher than their determination to keep their money and not take a book.
One thing I take from this is like very sweet from books, and then you're thinking that you go out with first it's fine, but then I get nagged out by these wives and cheaters, so then it goes away, but I think if I can maybe try maintaining that too.
Yeah.
It might just change.
95% of our ability to distribute books is just in our consciousness. We're in the right consciousness. That's why sadhana is so important. We have to read Prabhupada's books, we have to chant nicely, and this enables us, purity is the force. That's where we get the purity, this sadhana bhakti.
I was thinking, as Mataji mentioned, about not reading the scores, I was thinking, is the scores mentality useful at all? Because for me, it's a Kurt Bhavan thing, but there is many, I can quote millions of times where I've seen it on the street where if you hear someone else's scores, it inspires you. For the other day, I was on the street with Sundar Madhav, one of the brahmacharis, and he was telling me that he was beating me, and I was thinking, oh, he's beating me, so I pushed harder and harder. I ended up doing double what he'd done. Actually, by the end of the day, he had only done a few books, and I'm sitting thinking he was always in front. So because of that, I was inspired, but then, and I was thinking, well, maybe that was just, the wrong attitude, and even reading the scores out, I encourage the devotees to read the scores out every day, because one, it encourages the brahmacharis to see that things are happening, even if it's small or big, then we can see, there's purification. One day it's big, one day it's small, one day it's big, but then there's something happening always. And then second, the congregation sometimes think that no one's done anything, so it's good to inspire other people, so the score mentality can be surely...
So that's another way to look at it. Right?
But then, I'm thinking that just because I've come from that kind of mood, that's obviously my whole life is scores and big heroes and all this kind of thing, And then, so I'm into the village. I told this, the Southampton devotees go out, travel, and we're gone next week, and then we'll travel, And then they read an overall score. But then I told the devotees, read an individual score, because they were doing big books last week. I told him he never batted an eyelid, but I was like, this is amazing, All the devotees have to hear this. So I don't know if it's just me, or if it's just a Krishna Bhavan thing.
Well, there's different ways to see it. What do you think is good to pass?
I think the middle ground, which I think may be a way forward, is teams, like you said. Because they don't have some kind of goal or something to strive for, then there's always the danger you can become lazy.
Yeah.
And you don't try to push yourself.
Right.
At the same time, if we're too goal and individual focused, then I think out on the street and sometimes people definitely need to tell
I think team is good.
Forward is, having teams.
Competition, individual competition sometimes brings out the passion.
Yeah. I just had a comment also on Rabindra's point that sometimes we're having a good interaction and then someone kind of says no and in our mind we get very frustrated with them. And I like, maybe Vaisheshika Rupa says it was, I've heard it somewhere, but or in style, he talks about that. And how at every point in an interaction with someone, if you always remain positive, even when they're saying no, and you're just like, well, you know, thanks for taking the time, and thanks for saying, hey, maybe next time you'll have something, you know? And you just smile, and you're very positive, then many times in that very day, people will come back. And if not, next time they meet a different day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is another thing that I tell people when they say no, I say, well, thank you anyway for, you know, giving me your time. Because imagine if everybody said yes and took a book. Every person you spoke to took a book and gave a nice donation. Then, where's the austerity? How can you develop tolerance? So thank them because they're helping you be tolerant. So there's something to, you can appreciate that. It's positive. It's good.
It's possible in some cases to actually...
Excuse me?
Actually, in some circumstances, you could say it in such a nice way.
We don't know if they're lying or not. You don't know.
Pretty sure.
No, yeah, there's no way you can tell. I mean, the only way is you'd have to check every pocket in their pants. Yeah, there's no way you can tell.
No, because I've seen them myself. Like later in time, you'll see them. They'll bought something.
But they might have a credit card. You can't use a credit card.
They just told you they didn't have one.
Huh?
They just said they didn't have one.
They didn't have a credit card?
Anyway, quite a few times.
Anyway, don't tell them that they're lying. That's not the thing to do.
It was meant to leave a good impression.
Yeah, it's just my upbringing.
No, don't ever say that.
It's also like sometimes people are just, you might think it's really bad on their part, but they might actually be like very polite people. And they don't just want to tell you, like, no, I'm not interested.
Yeah, they're just doing it. They're just saying no in a nice way. That's a fact. A lot of times, they just that's a nice way of saying no. You know, I'd like to, but I don't have any money. It's a more polite way to say no instead of just saying no. I'm not interested.
And it's always better to not expose them. Even very often, I can understand where you're coming from. Your point, and I agree with you that you have this kamavasha iti siddhi, the mental power to tell, you know, if they're sincere or not. You may have or you may not, but at the same time, you know, if someone, like Sultana said, you know, they don't want to give a donation, but they're very, very nice to you because they don't want, therefore. That is already, like he said, you know, it's already a service they're doing to you because at least they've been nice to you. They may haven't given you a donation, but they have given you, the courtesy of a good mood, a good, I'm nice to you. And it's already, it's like you have to take it as a donation.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. Vaisheshika Prabhu said on that point, was like, he said that for years and years and years, if they went one way, I went the other way. If they went up, I went down. If they went under, I went round them. He says, but now I didn't want to trick them. I didn't want to force them. I just want to give them Krishna, you know. And I spoke to Nishringa Balaba in Leicester when I was traveling with Sutapa. And I said, how did you do that? Because I admit that I'm completely obsessed with scores. I said, how did you do these £700 and £800 and that kind of thing? And he said, we practically pinned people against the wall. You know, I says, how did you, I mean, he says, yeah, but I've got thousands, hundreds of thousands of books out. He says, but I don't feel satisfied by any of the books I've done. He says, I wasn't a bookish but I was a Lakshmi collector. You know, he says, because we were running people into the ground. So even if you had got the person to give the 20 quid or something, the guy would go off and he'd be fried, you know. So he probably wouldn't even read the book anyway, you know.
Yeah, the thing is the best policy is that everybody walk away with a smile, whether they take a book or not. We want to leave a good impression. Yeah. So you start accusing people, you know, and you're not even sure. It's like, so just we want people to take books, and if they don't take a book, at least they walk away. They've had a nice exchange, a good impression of the Hare Krishnas. Okay? Okay. Anything else? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai.
Ki jai.